This is Diana Nightingale, and today's message is the second in my series for Sunday morning. Over the next weeks, I'll be sharing with you short stories taken from my book, The Spiritual Flight of the Nightingale, in which I share my real-life experiences about times when, in the midst of struggling with everyday situations that tax the soul, wear the mind, and drain us emotionally, physically, and spiritually, I had moments of real insight and realization that God was present and showing me something profound at those very moments. I hope you'll find something in my stories that'll inspire you to find your gems along the bumpy road of your journey. And if you'd like to have the book or audiobook of The Spiritual Flight of the Nightingale, just go to www.dianannightingale.com. And now, Chapter 2, My Cup Runneth Over. Faith can move mountains. But don't be surprised if God hands you a shovel. The author of that is unknown. I just moved into a new home in Florida and was still making my way through boxes. I had a very large utility room with a great area for storage behind folding doors. I'd chosen the area as a perfect place to store my inventory of books, as it would be out of the heat and humidity, and I could use the countertop over the washer and dryer as a place to fill orders. It was handy. It was perfect. And I loved that there was a window, and I could see the beautiful Florida sunshine from there as well. I'd spent the day unpacking and moving things around and was physically worn out. I was tired and sore, and I didn't feel like fixing dinner and decided to go out instead. I'd thrown a load of clothes into the washer that came with the house and went upstairs to shower and change my clothes. As I dressed, I realized how very, very tired I was and planned to come right home after dinner and go to bed. When I came downstairs and entered the kitchen, I noticed something very strange on the floor. It looked like foam. What in the world, I wonder? Moving towards the utility room, I could see that the washer had overflowed, and water and suds were pouring across the floor, invading my storage space where my boxes of books were stored. And the water had spread into the eating area of the kitchen where boxes of unpacked dishes sat. I made a mad dash for the washer and shut it off. I stood in water up to my ankles and gazed at the mess that surrounded me. I began grabbing up towels and sheets and anything that would soak up the water. I opened the doors of the storage area and began pulling out the boxes of books. I'd had help putting them in there because they were too heavy for me. But now, there was no choice. There was no one to help. I moved the boxes out to the garage, tipping those that were wet upside down and opening them to rescue the books that I could. I worked feverishly and moved on into the kitchen, where I worked as fast as I could to move the heavy boxes containing dishes and pots and pans. They needed to be opened and the wetness discarded. I worked. I cried. I hurt. I cried some more. How could God allow this to happen? He of all knew how hard I worked and how difficult it was to be alone. I was already tired and sore and ready for dinner and rest, and instead I was doing the impossible, moving heavy boxes and discarding wet paper. Then it was time to clean up the mess on the floor. As I knelt on the floor, wiping up suds and water, I asked again why this was happening. What was the purpose? The answer came like this. Life is just full of washers waiting to overflow. God doesn't plan it that way. It happens when someone neglects to clean out the drain, or someone moves the washer to clean and doesn't see that the hose has come loose from the drain, or maybe someone just doesn't care what he leaves behind for others to deal with. But the point is, it happens, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with what God allows. The scene is played out in many different ways. For me, that evening, it was my washer. For others, it'll be something else. It happens when we least expect it, when we're exhausted and feel we can't move another muscle, and when no one is there to help us. And when it happens, and it does, we tend to forget how tired we are and just do what needs to be done. We experience strength that we don't have under usual conditions, and we perform tasks that would otherwise be insurmountable. We work through fatigue with only the achievement of our mission in thought. And while we struggle, and while we cry, we often question and ask God for help. We pray for guidance. But what's more important is this. We drop to our knees, ask God for His help. Then we get up and do what has to be done. We simply must do the work, and once we find ourselves in a situation that is clearly ours to deal with, we simply must do the do. I'm sure that it took days to dry things out and took even longer for my body to stop hurting after my heroic work. But all of these years later, the only thing I can remember clearly about that evening is the lesson that came to me while I was there on my knees, that life can be hard, and things can come to us when we feel that we're not strong enough to bear them. But like the soapy water mess I had, life's message requires that we get on our knees and ask God to give us the strength to do whatever has to be done to resolve the issue. And then we must get up and go to work and clean up the mess in our life. Most of all, to know that when you are physically alone with those insurmountable odds to deal with, that our Father, who art in heaven, is also here, there, and everywhere, watching over you, giving you strength, courage, and the ability to deal with whatever needs to be done. If we become what we think about, think always that our Father, the great I Am, is with you always, ever faithful to your protection and guidance. He is not here to keep you from living your life with all of its ups and downs, but is a loving Father setting examples in life and showing you your strength so that you may live more successfully. Just as we are only able to count the seeds that we can see in an apple, we tend to rely only on the strengths that we have seen that lies within us until now. But through our trials and tribulations, through our growing process, God is able to bring forth the unknown possibilities that lie within us that will take us to our complete fruition in His appointed time. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And Proverbs 3:6 tells us, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path.